We're holding on Lamma Kess, Amud Aleph, the third line. We learned yesterday that if a person shechts an animal having in mind for Avodah Zarah, if a person shechts for a goy, then the concern is the goy may have been thinking of Avodah Zarah. So we had a three-way machloikus in the Mishnah. We had the Tanakhama had said kosher, Rabbi Eliezer had said posel, and Rabbi Yossi had said that it doesn't matter the machshava of the owner. It matters the machshava of the person doing the shlita. And we explained the machloikus in two ways. Is it that the first two Tanoim hold that the owner is in fact able to make a korban pigle? And the only question is, would we assume the goy is thinking of Avodah Zarah? According to the Chachamim, no. According to Rabbi Eliezer, yes. And then Rabbi Yossi says, never mind that, because he doesn't have the ability to make it possible in the first place. The other way of understanding it is that where he did specifically say that, the Chachamim would say that doesn't matter because this is Cholin, we're talking outside the Beis Mikdash, it doesn't matter. Rabbi Eliezer would say it does matter. Rabbi Yossi would say it doesn't matter, but for a different reason, even for a korban in the Beis Mikdash, the owner is not able to make it pigle. So now let's talk more about this matter of shlita for the sake of Avodah Zarah. Itmar, so we have a discussion of Amoraim. Hashreichat as a behema, lizrit domal avodas kechavim, ula haktu chelbal avodas kechavim. Who's in shechts an animal having in mind that he's going to sprinkle the blood for Avodah Zarah, or that he's going to burn the chelev for Avodah Zarah. So there's no question if he does that, he's going to be chayiv misa. But the question is going to be, what about the shechita? Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Psula, Rabbi Yishimim and Lakish Amar Mutaris. Rabbi Yochanan says the animal is going to be possible, it's going to be also Bahana. Rish Lakish says that it would be Mutar, as we're all going to go on to discuss. Now, Tosfos points out, there's no question, again, that the guy is going to be Chayiv Misa. Tosfos gives an example that in Masechta Avodah Zarah, we have an example, let's say that if a person worships a mountain, the mountain doesn't become Osir because he worshipped it, because it's called, there's no Tfishas Yad Adam, there's no human involvement in the creation of that mountain. Nevertheless, mountain won't be Osir B'Hana as Avodah Zarah. Nevertheless, though, the person is, of course, going to be Chayiv Misa because he worshipped Avodah Zarah. So in the same way over here, the animal may well be mutter to eat, but that doesn't mean that he won't be chayav misa. Tosfos actually also deals with the question, what if, though, on the other hand, he's saying that he's shechting in order to sprinkle the blood for Avodah Zarah. The fact is he may not carry that out. So Tosfos says, first of all, the fact that he's doing a maiseh, he actually did the shechita, then we have every right to think that he is going to be doing an amanas lizrik, and therefore he could be chayav misa. And second of all, the very fact that he's thinking of it is order, that he's shechting in order to sprinkle, already makes it that he should be chayav misa. But the question is about the shechita. Rashi points out in more detail, after all, I mean, if he thought of the shechita that it's going to be for Avodah Zarah, there's no question that he would be, that the shechita would be possible. The question is, here he's thinking in the shechita about something else. So there you have the question, whether it would be good. Mephoshim deal with a related question. If we're going to say that the guy is over on the issue of Avodah Zarah, then shouldn't the shechita itself be possible? At the beginning of the Masechta, the Gemara had talked about that a mumer Avodah Zarah, that his shechita is possible. The Gemara had a whole discussion over there, and that was the conclusion. A mumer Avodah Zarah is this shechita is possible. So there's a couple of different answers. Among them, that here it's a one-time thing, so he's not considered a mumer yet. If he were to do that again, then his shechita would be also. Another way of looking at it is that even if you say the first time he already becomes a mumer, but it only happens at the end of the shechita that he becomes a mumer. So therefore, the shechita itself was bekashrus. This is especially if we say, like we learned the other day, about enel shechita elo v'soif, that only the end of the shechita is considered the shechita, and everything else is considered preparatory for it. So we would say up until that point, he doesn't become a mumer. And then he's not actually shechting for Avodah Zarah after all. He's shechting having in mind to sprinkle the blood for Avodah Zarah, so therefore that's not as bad. And therefore it doesn't make him a mumer and possible as shechita. In any case, Rabbi Yochanan says the shechita is going to be possible anyway. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar Psula Mechashven Me'Avoda La'Avoda. Rabbi Yochanan says it is possible to think from one avoda to another. A thought during one avoda about a different avoda is going to make it possible. Meaning, in other words, that let's say with korbanos, in other words, it's possible when a person is shechting the animal that he's having in mind what he's going to do at the time of the kabbalah or the zrika or whatever. So that would be enough to make, in the case of a korban, it would be enough to make it possible. And furthermore, says Rabbi Yochanan, the often and chutz miknim. Furthermore, in that connection, we can learn the iser that happens outside the Beis Mikdash, namely here, where he's doing something in honor of Avodah Zarah. We can learn it miknim from what happens inside the Beis Mikdash. So the same way, in other words, as Rabbi Yochanan said, listen, I mean, consider, for example, the classic case of pigle is that you're shechting the animal, or you're doing any of the four avodas that we learned about in Zvachim and Menachos, having in mind that you're going to eat the meat or sprinkle the blood or whatever tomorrow. And that's enough to make it possible. Are you going to say at the time of the shkita you're not actually doing that? Doesn't matter. At the time of the shkita, you're having in mind that you're going to do that. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says that we can learn chutz mipnim the same way as in the Beis Mikdash. Such a thing would be possible or pigul as far as the korbanos. The same way outside the Beis Mikdash, we can learn that it would be also. He says, he says that when it comes to korbanos, of course, there is mechashven avodah l'avodah. That's how pigul works. But he says, when it comes to this matter of shechting for avodah zarah, having in mind to do something for avodah zarah, he says it's not possible to think from one avodah to another. We don't learn what happens outside from what happens inside. Inside the Beis Mikdash, yes, that would be classic pigul or possible, as the case may be. But and over here, as Tosfa says, he will be chayav nisa. But it won't be enough. It won't cause that the shechita itself is possible just because he has in mind to do that in the future. And the Gemara points out for Ozdu L'Tanai. Now Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish and this Machlokas are going according to their respective shittas. We find a very similar Machlokas in them, between them and another point. The Itmar, we have a discussion about a korban. Shachta L'Shma, if you shechted a chatas, having in mind that it's a chatas, as you're supposed to. Now, you remember, we learned in Zvachim that most korbanos, if you shecht them Shlo L'Shma, are still kosher. They just don't count for the onus chiyuv. The exceptions are the Pesach and the chatas. Those are completely possible if you do them shalo l'shma. So now he shechted the chatas or the pesach shalo l'shma, having in mind that it is that type of korban. So far, so good. Lizrik dama shalo l'shma, but he's doing that having in mind at the time that when he sprinkles the blood, he's going to be doing that shalo l'shma. So now, what would be the din of that korban? Rabbi Yochanan Amach Psula, Rish Lakish Amach, and Rabbi Shimon Lakish Amach Sheirim. So Rabbi Yochanan says that it will be possible, and Rish Lakish says that it will be kosher. So a very similar machlokas. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Psula, because mechashven me'avoda la'avoda, because he says it is possible to have a problem when you think from one avoda to another, and he says, in fact, we're going to learn this concept from the way it works with the thought of pigle, because that's exactly how pigle works. You do any of the four avodas, having in mind to sprinkle the blood, or burn the chalev, or eat the meat, after the time, and then it makes it pigle. So therefore, so Rabbi Yochanan says the same thing is going to apply as far as other psulim as well. Not just as far as pigle, that's going to apply as well to shalo l'shma in our case. Therefore, it'll be possible. Reb Shimon Lakish Amak Sheder, because he's in Machashvan Avoda La'Avoda, V'loi Gamin and Machsheves Pigle. He says, no, other than Pigle, you can, Pigle, yes, by definition, that's how it grows, from one Avoda to another, but when it comes to other Avodas, says Rish Lakish, that no, you can't say that a Machsheva doing one about a different one is going to passel it. So therefore, Rish Lakish says, yes, as long as you shech the Lishma, the fact that you're saying, I'm going to sprinkle Shalom Lishma, I don't care what you're going to do. Right now, in the shchita, you're doing a perfectly fine shchita, and therefore the korban is kosher. So it's a very similar machlokas. So over there, the machlokas is whether the korban becomes possible. Here, the machlokas is whether the animal becomes also v'hana as zivchei nesim, as korbanas for the dead, for the dead avodah zarah. Now, so why do we need the machlokas twice? The Gemara points out, at Sricha, we need to be told this machlokas in both cases. If we were only told about it as far as the din, as far as the case of Avodah Zarah, our case over here, then you would say, you know why? Rish Lakish says that's kosher, because, yeah, how could you learn what's going on outside the Bais HaMikdash from what's going on inside it? Inside the Bais HaMikdash, you have special dinim of machshava, and pasal and korbanos and all that. You don't have that sort of thing outside. So mele, he's shechts having in mind that it's a shchita for avodah zarah. Sure, it's going to be pasal. But to do over here from one machshava to another, avol pnim nipnim emem moedelay l'Rabbi Yochanan. So when it comes to learning, one thing that happens with a korban inside the azara from another thing that happens in the azara, maybe he would agree with Rabbi Yochanan that in fact that would be effective, and therefore to be shechting and having in mind that a later avoda is going to do shaloi b'shma would be enough to make it possible. Because after all, in the Beis Hamikdash we have many dinim and machshava like that passing things. So therefore we need to be told that in that case of korbanos also he disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan. The itma b'chach, and if we only had the case of the korban shelo b'shma, then he would say the other way around. By he called Rabbi Yochanan, only there does Rabbi Yochanan say that b'chash v'n ma'avoda la'avoda, because after all, again, you have pigul as a precedent for other ones. Abel b'ha, but over here, when it comes to shechting a regular chulin animal, ema modele l'Rav Shimon Lakish, you might agree with Rish Lakish that just because that's true in the Bais HaMikdash doesn't mean that it's true elsewhere. So, and therefore, we need to have the machlokas in both places. Okay. So now, Mosiv Rav Sheshes. So now Rav Sheshes says, I have a contradiction now. In our Mishnah, so again, we had the Tanakhama saying that if you shecht an animal for goy, then it's still shchitasek sheira. Rabbi Eliezer had said posel, and again, we had two ways of explaining that machlokas. One is that we don't know what the goy is thinking, and the question is, do we assume by default that he's thinking that this shechita is being done for avodah zarah? The Tanakhama would hold no, Rabbi Eliezer yes. And then we have the other way of looking at it. We're talking about where he does actually say that he's thinking of it for avodah zarah. Nevertheless, the Tanakhama says that it doesn't matter. He's not the one shechting. You, the yid, are. His machshava, even though he's the owner of the animal, has no effect on it. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer says it would have an effect. Then we have Rabbi Yossi's opinion in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi had made a kavah choymer. He had said, madach in a place in the Azara, in the Bais HaMikdash, where machshava passels when it comes to kodshim, nevertheless it goes according to the oved, according to the one who's doing the avodah, and not the owner of the animal, how much more so over here by cholim, where machshava is not poiselis. So Rav Sheshes says, let's analyze that. Mosiv Rav Sheshes, Omer Rav Yosi, Kavachomer Advarim. We said you can make a Kavachomer. Ma'avim Mokhim Shemachshava Peiselas Bay. Ma'adach on a case where Machshava passels, B'mukdoshin, when it comes to Kodshim. Ein HaKol Hoylech Ela Achar HaOved. Nevertheless, everything follows the Koyin who does the Avoida. It doesn't matter what the owner is thinking. Says Rabbi Yossi, unlike Rabbi Eliezer, who says it does matter what the owner is thinking, and in the first version, even the Tanakhama holds that. But it only goes according to the Kohen who does the Avodah, according to whoever does the Avodah. The Shechita could be anybody. The other three Avodahs is a Kohen. And nevertheless, it still only goes according to him. And if the owner has a wrong thought, a piggle or whatever, then it won't cause a problem. So continues Rav Yosi in the Mishnah, Mokam Shein Machshava Peiselas Bay. So in the case where Machshava does not passel, namely Becholim, how much more so that everything should just follow the shochet, and that the owner's thought shouldn't matter. So therefore, Rabbi Yossi is saying that we don't care what the goyish owner of the animal is thinking. Now, we have to figure out, my in machshava peiselas b'cholin. What does Rabbi Yossi mean with that phrase? Does he mean that a machshava by cholin will never pass it at all? Obviously, that can't be so. Then how would there ever be a case of a korban for avodah zarah, which is osubahna? How would there be such a thing? It's all a matter of thought. Or fine, he says it, but if Rabbi Yossi is saying that by cholin a thought doesn't matter, then that can't be. Of course, a thought matters. If he says I'm doing this shchita for avodah zarah, then of course it becomes osur. Rashi explains like this. The Pasuk calls it Zivchei Mesim. Vayichu Zivchei Mesim, the Pasuk in Tilin. So we learn from that, just like a mess is also Bahana, so also what's offered to Avodah Zarah is also Bahana. A mess in turn We learn by Xeda Shava from when Miriam passed away. It says, Thomas Shom Miriam, and by the Egla Arufa, it says, Ba'ofu Shomasa Egla. So the Egla Arufa, once you, the Egla Arufa is also Bahanar, therefore so is a mess. And since Korbanos to Avodah Zarah are called Zivchei Nesim, then therefore they're also Bahanar. So it's clear, we know for a fact that Korbanos to Avodah Zarah are also Bahanar. Obviously, Rabbi Yossi can't mean that a Machshava is not able to make it do that. Tosfos brings up the point that we discussed in Zvachim and Menachos, we discussed the question of whether Pigul actually requires thought, or whether it requires speech, or whether it's enough for Pigul to, or whether it's enough for it to become Pigul through thought. So Tosfos points out, well then, and if you're going to say that thought alone works to make it Pigul, then you would have, let's say, for example, that how would it be? So in other words, you would say that Rabbi Yossi would be saying that a machshava does not passel it, but in other words, the implication is speech would, and what would that speech be, where he says that he's shechting it in honor of Avodah Zarah? So Tosfos wonders about that. In turn, on the side of here, he mentions that Tosfos Yom Tov in Bava Metzia, of all places, because there it talks about dinim of machshava as far as a person thinking to do shlichus yad, to misuse a pikadon, whether it's effective or not. So the Tosfos Yom Tov over there brings up a point and wonders what Tosfos is thinking of based on that Mishnah in Bava Metzia, where in order for us to even talk about whether he's chayav for shlichus yad, it has to be that he actually said it in front of Edim, otherwise a thought, how would anybody know what he was thinking? So there it's clear that this kind of thing of machshava requires speech. Nevertheless, as we learned in, so Tosfos Yom Tov wonders what Tosfos is even wondering about, but as we learned in Zvachim, there are in fact Meforshim on Rambam in particular, who seem to understand that maybe even when it comes to Kodshim, at least Machshava would in fact mean just a thought. In any case, the point is, Rabbi Yossi obviously can't mean that Machshava doesn't passel at all with Cholin, because obviously it does. Elo pshitim avoda la'avoda. Evidently, we have to be talking about thinking the case that we're talking about from one avoda to another, namely that during the shkita he has in mind to do the zrika for Avodah Zarah. Therefore, Rabbi Yossi's Kal V'Chomer would go like this. Madoch, when it comes to Mokdoshin, when it comes to Kodshim, where Machshava passes even from one Avoda to another, again, because that's, for example, how Pigul works, Ein HaKol Holach Ela Afar Oved, and nevertheless, Rabbi Yossi points out, the fact is, it's only the Oved's Machshava that's going to create any problems. If the owner of the animal has such thoughts, it won't make the Korban Pigul. So then he says, Machum Shein Machshava Pesalus B'Cholin, where Machshava doesn't passel in Cholin. He doesn't mean that it doesn't passel at all, because again, obviously that can't be. It means Me Avoda La Avoda, specifically this kind of case where he thinks from one Avoda to another. Ela Ba'Ois Avoda. When would it make it possible? Only within that Avoda itself. And you didn't, Shalo Yehakol, Ela Ha'acha Shoichet. So how much more so a Kabbal Chomer that should just go according to the Shoichet and not according to the Oivin? Now that we've quoted and explained the Mishnah, so Rav Sheshes points out, Pnim Kashal Rav Shimon Lakish. So now, the case that we're talking about, now again, Rav Shlokish and Rav Yechon are arguing on two cases. One is the case related to our Mishnah, where he thinks during the Shchita that he plans to sprinkle the blood for Avodah Zarah, and the other one was the case involving Kodshim, where he thinks during the Shchita that he plans to, that he thinks during the Shchita that later on, during the Zirka, he's going to do that Shaloy L'Shma. So the case that Rabbi Yochanan is explaining, that Rabbi Yossi is explaining the Mishnah, that takes place inside the Bais Mikdash, that's a problem for Rish Lakish. He says, so Rashi explains the question is, the fact that he says that Machshava passels Kodshim. Now, if he meant that it could make it Pigul, then he should have said Mefageles, which would be the usual expression for Pigul. So the fact that it doesn't means that we're not talking about other kinds of psulim. We're talking about, for example, Shalei L'Shma, where it doesn't become pigul, but it does become posel. And Rabbi Yossi is saying that it does work. It is possible to make the korban posel that way, whereas Rish Lakish is saying that not. So according to Rashi, that's the question. Tosfos has a problem with that. I mean, so what? Sometimes we find the word posel is used for pigul. It's a more general term. It means any kind of posel. But Tosfos says that no, because over here, where you could in fact misunderstand that Rabbi Yossi means only that such a thing would work as far as psul and not as far as pigul, then he should have used the word mefagelos to make it more clear. Toys R Us also brings a girsa from Rabbeinu Hananel that actually that Rish Lakish will be saying, fine, there's no question on Rish Lakish to this from Pnim, because Rish Lakish would understand that what is the one case where that works from Avoda to Avoda would be Pigel and not anything else. So then according to Rabbeinu Hananel's girsa, Rav Sheshet would be saying there's no question on Rish Lakish. The question would be only on Rav Yechonon, but the girsa that we have in front of us, and the girsa of most of the Rishonim, is that he's asking on Rish Lakish as well. Because Rav Yossi is saying the expression that it's possible, in a machshava pesalos b'cholin, whereas if he meant a point of Rish Lakish, that doesn't happen by other psulim, only by Pigel, then he should have said mefagels. And chutz kasha lo yechon, and the part of what Rav Yossi is saying about chutz, about what takes place with a chulin animal that's shechted, having in mind that he's planning to do something for avodah zarah. So that's a kasha on Rav Yechon. Rav Yossi is saying that from avodah to avodah is not passeling. Rav Yechon is saying it does passel it. Now, Tosfos points out, why don't we say Rabbi Yechon has to hold like Rabbi Yossi? Maybe he holds like the Rabbanan. They learn, we said before in the Gemara, so they learn chutz from pnim. They learn that just like inside the, just that we had in the first version of the Gemara, at any rate, they held that the machshava of the owner is in fact, it can in fact be effective. And the only question was, is this good necessarily? Thinking of it as honor, they said that they said probably not. So therefore they can, but they held that zemachash of the zeoivet, it doesn't matter that one is thinking and the other is doing the avoida, it's still effective. Maybe also they would hold machash ven avoida l'avoida. So you could say, if you follow that first version, you could say Rabbi Yechon is going according to the Chachamim. If you follow the second version, fine, you can't say he's going according to the Chachamim, because they say even when the owner is saying that he's doing that he wants it, L'shem Avodah Zarah, doesn't matter, only Rabbi Eliezer cares about that, fine. So in the second version, then Rabbi Yechon would be going like Rabbi Eliezer. Why don't we say that? And Tosfos gives an explanation because this business of zemachash of zeoivid, we can talk about that maybe if that's true in the Bais HaMikdash, then it's true outside the Bais HaMikdash as well. Because the owner is called makriv, it's called the hikra makriv korbanos, for example. The word makriv in the Torah doesn't always refer to the one who actually does the avodah of the korban, sometimes it refers to the owner of the korban. So machashman avodah, we never really find such a limud that the whole concept of there's machashman inside in the Bais HaMikdash is there's a kosev and you can't necessarily derive from it for other cases. So therefore, so we can't assume that Rabbi Yechonon is just going like the Chachamim or like Rabbi Eliezer, and therefore back to the question according to Rabbi Yossi, what does Rabbi Yossi mean when Rabbi Yossi says ena machshava pesalos mecholin, and we're understanding that it means me'avodah v'avodah, but according to Rabbi Yechonon it does. So the Gemara says v'shlema pnim l'Rabbi Shimon lakish lekasha. Now the part about what takes place inside the Bais HaMikdash to say that that's a kasha on Rish Lakish is not really such a question. The fact that the Mishnah, the fact that Rabbi Yossi is implying that inside the Bais HaMikdash, it is possible to be machashva na'avodah la'avodah, not just as far as Pigel, but as far as other psulim as well, where he thinks doing one avodah that he's going to do a different avodah with a psul. So fine, that's not just a kasha and a shlokish. Because one is before he heard from Rabbi Yechonon, and the other one after he heard from Rabbi Yechonon. Namely, Rashi explains it means before he heard this Mishnah from Rabbi Yechonon, then he figured Rabbi Yechonon is saying a svara of his own. Fine, I disagree with his svara. But then after he heard this Mishnah from Rabbi Yechonon, his Rebbe, and now he realized Rabbi Yechonon didn't come up with this idea on his own. He derived it from the Mishnah, from Rabbi Yossi's statement in the Mishnah. Then he realized, then I can't continue to hold that way, and therefore I have to change my opinion. So therefore, so the Mishnah is now Kasha and Rish Lakish, because in fact he would have said his opinion before he knew this Mishnah. Rashi points out, after all, Rabbi Yechonon taught Rish Lakish Mishnayos and Braisos. We have the famous story where Rish Lakish was a bandit and Rabbi Yechonon taught him, etc. The second explanation, although Tosfos has a problem with that, I mean, what kind of a thing is that? Rish Lakish would say something before he knows a Mishnah. We generally assume that the Amorim are familiar with all the Mishnayos. There's a similar thing on the side of it here. It references a similar thing that Tosfos brings up in Menachos as well, where you have a Gemara over there, where also the Gemara seems to say that the Gemara sounds like it's saying that Rish Lakish said something without knowing a Mishnah, and Tosfos wonders, what do you mean? Amorim are supposed to know all the Mishnahs. In any case, it actually gives a second explanation, which is, it means after he heard that Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with him, then you could say that Rish Lakish changed his mind. So therefore, so the Mishnah would not be such a contradiction on Rish Lakish. But I guess the point of Rabbeinu Hananel's view is that Tosfos had brought before, then the Gemara is saying, anyway, there's no kasha and Rish Lakish in the first place, because again, there's a difference between Tigul and Pasul. But in any case, the case of Chutz is a kasha and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yossi is clearly saying, the way Rav Sheshes explained it, which is how it, on the face of it, it has to be that, that when it comes to Kodshim Mechashvim Na'avoda La'avoda, and here Rabbi Yochanan is saying that no, there's no such thing as Mechashvim Na'avoda La'avoda, even by Kodshim. Rabbi Yochanan is saying, sorry, the other way around. Rabbi Yochanan is saying there is Mechashvim Na'avoda La'avoda by Kodshim, not as far as Kodshim, as far as Cholin, that Rabbi Yochanan says, Mechashvim Na'avoda La'avoda, shechting the animal, having in mind, he's going to sprinkle the blood for Avodah Zarah. It's enough to make the animal possible, as if they made him, whereas Rabbi Yossi had said, no, Ein Machshava Peselus for Cholin, which we explained to mean that a Machshava does not go from one Avodah to another in Cholin. So how would Rabbi Yochanan work that out? And again, as Tosfos says, for the reasons that they explain, you can't say that he holds, like, they can't say that Rabbi Yochanan holds like the Tana Kama or like Rabbi Yezer, necessarily he has to hold like Rabbi Yossi. On number days, anyway, the Gemara is actually going to say, Nahalocha is like Rabbi Yossi. So, that's another reason why we would assume that we want, that Rabbi Yochanan is going to hold like Rabbi Yossi, but okay. So Rav Sheshes brought up that question. So, whom Moisiv Lava Homo Fayakla? Rav Sheshes brought up the question. He also answered it. But Arba Avodis, when Rabbi Yossi says that Machshava does not pass by Cholin, he doesn't mean me Avoda La Avoda. What he means is that by Cholin you don't have four Avodas where it's going to become possible if he has wrong thoughts. Because there's only two Avodas, Shchita and Zrika. Because by Cholin you don't have the other two that you have by Kodshim are Kabbalah and Halacha, but you don't have those by Cholin, so therefore those are irrelevant. So v'hachi karma. So therefore, sort of Yossi is not addressing the case of avoda la'avoda at all. V'hachi karma. All he's saying is ma b'makom shemachshava peiselus b'makdashin ba'arba avodas. When it comes to kodshim, there are four different avodas doing any of which machshava would passel the korban. And yet, whether the korban will become pigol or posel, whatever. And nevertheless, it follows swiftly the one who's doing the avoda, and we don't care about the machshava of the owner of the korban. So then, Rav Yossi continues, "Makom shein machshava paselus b'cholin ela b'shtei avodas." When machshava passes in cholin only by two avodas, namely by shchita and by zrika. It actually points out only those two do we specifically find those being done in honor of Avodah Zarah, and therefore that it should make the korban possible. When it comes to shchita, we have the pasuk says Veveyach Lelekin Yochron. Anybody who sacrifices to other gods will be destroyed, and sacrificing Zeveyach means the shecht. And then as far as sprinkling the blood, you have an expression in the pasuk in Tillim, Bal Asich Niskeyam Midam. David says, I'm not going to be like we Jews are not like the Ovid Avodah Zarah. We don't pour the libations of blood. So those two things we see are done in honor of Avodah Zarah. Kabbalah and Halacha, you don't really have, you don't have any place where it mentions them in connection with Avodah Zarah. So Rabbi Yossi is going to say that when it comes to shechting and having in mind for Avodah Zarah, there's only two avodas that are relevant. Now Rashi points out, what about another one? There's also on the face of it booning the animal or its chaylev or whatever. Why don't we count that as well? Rashi says that's not a problem, because if he shechts having in mind that he plans to offer some of the chaylev to Avodah Zarah, but he didn't shecht and he didn't sprinkle the blood for Avodah Zarah, so then actually even bifnim such a thing wouldn't make the korban possible, because after all you need for the korban to be kosher is the basic four avodas. So if he thought, for example, while he was burning the fat, that he plans to eat the meat, chutzlazmane, it wouldn't make it pigol, because that's past the four avodas already. The same way Rashi says over here that him having in mind doing one of the avodas, that he's going to sprinkle, that he's going to burn the fat for Avodah Zarah, or when he has the fat itself, he burns it for Avodah Zarah, that wouldn't make the shchita possible. So, So therefore, so in your din, so continues Rabbi Yosi, his kavachomer in your din shouldn't it be a kavachomer that everything goes only according to the shreicha, and that we don't care what the owner holds. Now Tosfos brings up a point though that wait a minute, and if he does sprinkle the blood for Avodah Zarah, that wouldn't make the meat also necessarily at the bottom of the omer. We're going to talk about a case with Goyim where they were planning to sprinkle the blood for Avodah Zarah, and he said it's not a problem. So because again Zemachash v'Zeoibed Layamrinim, we don't care about their thoughts, we only care about the thought of the Yid who was doing the shechita. And the fact that they actually went and sprinkled that blood later also doesn't create any problem. In any case, Tosfos says fine, but the blood at least will be oster, and therefore therefore we can say in that sense, machashon avoda la'avoda, there is a certain point of making the of making. There was a certain point that the zrika does come into play over here in terms of at least fine. We're going to say that we're not going to say necessarily that because later on they sprinkle the blood for Avodah Zarah, it retroactively makes the shechita possible, but nevertheless nevertheless at least the blood itself will be possible. Marsha actually has another take on this whole thing. He has an explanation. He has an explanation of Tosfos. Over here, again, part of the question is, so what about the chalev, which Rashi had pointed out? Fine, again, you'll have the same thing. The animal is not also, but the chalev will be also. And after all, there was a pasuk that mentions burning chalev for Avodah Zarah as well. So no, Maoshab explains another meaning in Tosfos. What he means is, when it comes to shechita and zrika, there is this point of me'avoda la'avoda. It's relevant to talk about. You do the shechita, having in mind that the zrika will be done l'shem Avodah Zarah or whatever. But when it comes to burning, there's no me'avoda la'avoda, because like Rashi says, it's meaningless, even with a korban. If you do something, if you have a wrong machshava doing the burning of the chalev, nothing's going to happen because it's already after the four avodas. Now, this is all an explanation according to Rashi at Tosfos. That the point is, we're saying that when it comes to shechita, when it comes to regular shechita, you only have two avodas that are relevant, whereas when it comes to a korban, you have four avodas that are relevant. Now you have the Baal Amor and a number of other Rishonim after him, and explains what it means is when it comes to a different way of putting it, when it comes to the shechita of a korban, all four of those avodas are relevant, in the sense that, in other words, if he thinks doing the shechita, I'm shechting the loy l'shma, or in order to I'm shechting having in mind that the kabbalah will be chutz l'zmane, or chutz, no, not the kabbalah actually can't be chutz l'zmane, or chutz l'mkayim, but whatever, that the kabbalah will be shaloy l'shma, or that the halacha will be shaloy l'shma, etc. So in other words, there is within each avoda itself. Then the Baal Amor and the other Rishonim after him explain, it means that all of them are relevant. So, for example, he has in mind the Shecht, having in mind that he's going to do one of the other Avodas, that he's going to do them with a thought of Psul or Pigul. As opposed to Avodah Zarah, you only have, only by Shechita, there's only two Avodas that are relevant to think about what he plans to do, the Shechita and the Shechita, when he Shechts, he has in mind either to sprinkle the blood or to burn the fat. Well, that answers the question, why we're about the burning of the fact, because in fact, according to the Baal Amor's explanation, that is what we're talking about. During the shechita, he has in mind that he's going to burn the fat, l'shem Avodah Zarah, as opposed to, again, by a korban, where you have four different things he could be thinking of to do kabbalah, halacha, zrika, or the burning of the fat. So therefore, that would be another way of understanding Rabbi Yossi's 2 verses 4. Okay, in any case, the point is, Rav Sheshes explains, the premise of the question was that Rav Yossi, when he says that machshava is not effective by chulin, then we thought that he meant me'avoda la'avoda. And the question is, Rav Yossi is saying that it is effective within chulin, me'avoda la'avoda. So now the answer is, Rav Yossi is not talking about that at all, rather he's talking about the difference between two avodas and four avodas, where again, according to Rashi, and Tosfos, what it means is, in other words, there's only two avodas that are relevant by shechita, namely the shechita and the shechita and the sprinkling of the blood. If he has in mind either of them, then the korban will be possible, but when it comes, it will be possible and will be zivchei mesim. But if he has in mind to do halacha or zrika, l'shem avodah halacha or kabbalah or halacha, l'shem avodah zara, nothing happens. And according to the Baal Amara and company, the point is that during the shechita of a korban, there are four possible avodas that he could be having in mind to do with a wrong thought, as opposed to by the shechita of a holy animal, there are only two. Okay, so no contradiction on Rabbi Yochanan. Well, the Gemara points out, Tanya Kavasei the Rabbi Yochanan. In fact, we learn a braisa like the way Rabbi Yochanan says, Shechet as a behema, Lizrik doma laveris kechavim, lahakto chelbo laveris kechavim. Person shechts an animal having in mind is going to sprinkle the blood for Avodah Zarah or brun lechelet for Avodah Zarah. Harei elu zivchei mesim. Then these are zivchei mesim, and we said, Anomar Aleph, that the animal will be also bahana, as we said over there. We learn a message also bahana from the Egla Arofa, and in turn we learn that korbanos of Avodah Zarah are also bahana because they're called zivchei nesim. So we see, like Rabbi Yochanan, that he's shechting, having in mind that the sprinkling is going to be done. L'shem Avodah Zarah, that's machashvah na'avodah la'avodah, and it still is effective and makes it zivchei nesim, makes it also bahana. Continues the Braisa, Shochta v'achaka chishuv alav, what happens if he shechted it without anything, without any thought particular in mind, v'achaka chishuv alav, later on he thought that he's going to sprinkle the blood of brun mechelev for Avodah Zarah. So the question is, so here, later on, he has this thought. Does that mean it's from Hishchiach Sofal Tchilosai? Does that demonstrate that to begin with, maybe at the time of the Shechita he was thinking of such a thing, or not? So the Braisa says, Zeho Yemaisa b'Kesri, such a case happened in the city of Kesri in Eretz Yisrael, v'lo Omer, v'lo Yisur, v'lo Heter. And the Chachamim did not say Yisur or Heter about it. They didn't say explicitly whether it's Osur or Mutter. Now there are Rishonim who explain, the Rabbi Yeruchim explains, and the Beis Yosef brings in his name, that it doesn't just mean he thought to sprinkle the blood for Avodah Zarah. Because if you're talking about he shechted Stam, and then later on, when it came to, later on he said, I'm going to sprinkle it for Avodah Zarah, that's okay, and it's Dibur Ba'alma, he's talking big talk or whatever. Does that mean to go so far as to say that it's Shechita with L'Shem Avodah Zarah? We're not going to say that. So therefore, the Rabbeinu Yeruchim says we're talking about he actually did sprinkle the blood for Avodah Zarah. Nevertheless, if he didn't think of that at the time of Shechita, then it wouldn't be a problem. Because again, as Tosfos had pointed out before, as we're going to have in the Gemara later, the fact that later on the blood is sprinkled, the Shem Avodah Zarah, in and of itself does not create a problem. So the vote would be over here. It's not just that this fellow in Kesri didn't just it's not just that he shechted Stam and said I'm going to sprinkle L'shem Avodah Zarah. It would be that he actually did sprinkle L'shem Avodah Zarah. And the question is, does that tell us that retroactively he had that in mind during the Shechita as well? The Beis Yosef and the Maharshal and many other Achronim argue with him and say that no, it does mean that Chishiv, that he does say that he's going to do for Avodah Zarah, but once he did that, once he said such a thing openly, that he plans to do Avodah Zarah with this animal, so maybe he already had that in mind during the Shechita. In any case, we're saying the Chachamim did not say Isu or Heker in it. Why not? They didn't want to say it's also because of the covenant of the Chachamim, because of the Chachamim, the Tanakhama in our Mishnah says that the Machshava of a Goy, we don't care, we don't think that the Goy is by default thinking of a Zara. So now this fellow, okay, he said that he's a, we don't say Stam Machshavas of a Zara, Stam Machshavas Goy Lava Zara. So the same way over here, yes, it turns out that he was a Mummer, but we don't say that means at the time of the Shechita, it shows already that he was thinking of a Zara. We're not going to say that necessarily. So therefore, the Chachamim of that time, in case he didn't want to explicitly say that this animal is also, Loy Heter, Mishum Kvoded, Rabbi Eliezer, they didn't want to say, but Feder said it's Mutter, because of the honor of Rabbi Eliezer, who said that a Goy by default does think of Avodah Zarah. So therefore, they didn't want to say one way or the other. One of the Mefarshim points out, I mean, how can you do that? You've got to pass in halacha one way or the other. But the fact is, it is a suffix over here. If it was a matter of this situation itself is a vaday, and the question is only who the halacha is like, then you don't have a choice. You've got to pass in halacha one way or the other. But here, where there's a suffix, an inherent suffix in what he did, does he in fact, should we say in fact, that it means that he was thinking of Avodah Zarah already at the time of the Shechita or not, we can't be sure, and therefore they didn't want to say the halacha one way or the other. Well, the Gemara says, Mimai, how do you know? How do you know that? How do you know the Tana Kama and Rabbi Eliezer are arguing in this particular case, such that you could say because of the covet of the Chachamim and because of the covet of Rabbi Eliezer, they didn't want to say one way or the other. Maybe Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim are not even talking about such a case. Because after all, we had at the beginning of the Gemara, like we learned yesterday, that one way of looking at it is that the Chachamim are saying only that it's mutter, only where he didn't hear him say at any point that he's thinking of it as Avodah. And therefore, the Chachamim said, in that version, we don't think that an Agoy is by default thinking of Avodah Zarah, and therefore we're fine. But here we actually heard him say that he plans to do something for Avodah Zarah. Maybe we should say, maybe the end demonstrates about the beginning. That since at the end he said, or according to Rabbeinu Yerucham, he actually did sprinkle Lashem Avodah Zarah, then maybe that shows that earlier on also he was thinking of that. Really, Tosfos points out this would work out even according to the second Lashon, because the Chachamim said over there, Zemahash of Zeoyver, where you have the Goyish owner of the animal, is thinking, and you, the Yid, are shefting, so we're going to say one doesn't affect the other, but here it's the same guy who shefted, who sprinkled, who said that he's going to sprinkle, so therefore, even according to that second version, the Chachamim would have every reason to say that's also. So not necessarily would the Chachamim hold that in a case like that, it would be Mutter. And Inami, and you could look at it the other way around also. Ad kan lakom Rabbi Eliezer hosim al gaba oved kechavim. Rabbi Eliezer is saying over there by a goy, the stand machshavas oved kechavim, lavas kechavim. And by default, a goy's thoughts are on Avodah Zarah. Abel Yisrael, but you were talking about a yid after all. The yid has a cheskes kashus. You're not just going to say, you're not going to break down that cheskes kashus unnecessarily. So we're not going to say hechiach soif al tchilasa. What we'll say is, okay, now he came up with an idea of Avodah Zarah. Well, after the shchita, Yitzhahara got into him, and he decided to leave Yiddishkeit and join another religion, Rahman al-Islam. But at least he had a cheskes kashrus at the time of shchita, so maybe Rabbi Eliezer would not hold that the shchita is possible in a case like this. So we can't say that in this case, in case three, where again, the person shechted without saying anything in particular. And then later on, he said he's going to sprinkle Lashem Avodah Zarah. And again, according to the Beis Yosef and the Maharshal and everyone, it means he didn't even do it yet. He just said he's going to, but just saying so was already a strong thing. And according to the Rabbeinu Yerucham, he actually said it. He actually did it. In any case, the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer are not necessarily arguing on such in such a case, and therefore you can't say that in this case, in case three, the Chachamim refrained from giving up psak din because of the honor of Rabbi Eliezer and of the Chachamim respectively. So, Ella Omer of Shizvi, Lo Omer Baheta Mishum Kvodid of Shimon Gamliel. The reason why they didn't want to say a heter in it is not because of the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, but because of the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who holds that Hechiach Seif Al Tchilasai. Well, Rav Shimon Gamliel doesn't come up in this Mishnah, so we have to figure out which statement of Rav Shimon Gamliel are we talking about. Hey, Rav Shimon Gamliel, which statement of Rav Shimon Gamliel are we referring to? Ilemed Rav Shimon Gamliel de Gittin, do we mean his statement in connection with a case of Gittin, in Masechta Gittin, the Tnan, we have a Mishnah over there that says, Habori sha'omer kisvo get le'ishti. If a healthy person says to Edim, write a get for my wife, now, if he tells them, write and give the get to my wife, well, then it means he wants them, he's making them shluchim, to write the get and to give it to her, and then that's regular shlichos of Gittin that works. But here he only said, write it, and he did not say, give it. So we say, rotzel l'sachik, well, then it means he's only trying to play around with her. What's the situation? She wants him, for example, to give her a get because she and he are childless and she doesn't want to end up having to do Yibum or Chalitza. So he doesn't want to give her a get. He wants to stall for time. So he says to Adim, write her a get. And she thinks, okay, well, he's going to write me a get, so I'll stop bugging him about it. Meanwhile, though, he hasn't made them shluchim because he didn't say to give it to them. Now, Rashi points out that we're dafka talking about a body where he's healthy. It can't be where he's a shidmara or where he's otherwise dangerously ill, because the Mishnah, because the Gemara explains over there, based on a Mishnah and based on further details in the Gemara over there, that when a person is about to die, whether of natural causes, or you have a case over there where he's being taken out to be executed by the government, so then you can say, if he didn't say tnu, it's because he couldn't think of it because he was too much in a panic. And the halacha is that applies also to a masukah, to a person who's dangerously ill. So if he's dangerously ill and doesn't say tnu, then the fact that he said kisvu is good enough. But when he's healthy, Then we say that if he just says kiss through, then that he's just joking, that he's just trying to stall for time, and they don't have the right to actually write and deliver that yet because he didn't make them shluchim for that. Machlokas aposkim, are we talking about if he told them? What about if he told them also to sign it? Then maybe that would be included in any case. But yeah, and the Mishnah continues. So in other words, if they write a get, then it's considered it was written shelo d'shma, it's written without the permission of the husband, and therefore it's a possible get. So now the Mishnah continues. One time it happened, there was a healthy person who said to Adam, write a get for my wife, and they in fact did write it and give it to her. The olah gag, then the guy went up to the roof, but nochal, he fell off the roof, a mess, and he died. Shimon Gamliel says we have to see what the situation was. If the guy fell on his own, meaning he deliberately jumped off the roof, then it is a valid get, because it means, in other words, he was planning to commit suicide, and therefore he's like that case of Mesukon, or all those other cases where a person is close to death, and therefore we can assume that he really did mean to say tenu, and he just didn't because he was because he wasn't thinking straight. So therefore the fact that he didn't say tenu doesn't matter. But says Reb Shimon Gamliel, v'imaruach dachatu, but if it was an accident, if for example the wind knocked him off the roof, ain't a get, then it's not a valid get, because then we don't have any proof that he meant to do anything like that. Then we can say that he was always in a calm state of mind, and he should have said tenu as well. Now, that's the Mishnah. That's the Mishnah as we have it. That first it says if he says kisvu, then it means he's just joking. And then you have this case where he says kisvu, and Reb Shimon Gamliel says that if we can see from the circumstances that he committed suicide, then it would be a valid get. Now, so the Havinan bar, so in that Gemara in Gittin, we ask on that Mishnah, Maisel the Sir, how does the Mishnah bring a case to contradict what it said before in the Mishnah? The Mishnah doesn't do like that. It's not going to bring a din and then bring a case from which we see the exact opposite. Here the guy was a body, and we still see that it depends whether he fell off or not. So the answer is chsuri machsur, the Mishnah is missing words. What the Mishnah means is like this. So first it says that if the body says, write a get for my wife, and he doesn't say tenu, then they can't do it. There are Rishonim who learn, the Rambam brings, and ultimately this is brought in Shulchan Aruch, they could write the get. They just can't give it yet, until he tells them to give it. Okay, in any case, the point is, but the Mishnah is missing words. If the end demonstrates about the beginning, if the later circumstances demonstrate that this is what he had in mind all along, how is a get, then it would be a valid get, even though he didn't say tenu. Or mais and nami, rebari, and there we have a story with a healthy person, shama kis forget the ishti, where he said, write a get for my wife, for all of the god, we're not full of mess. He went up to the roof and then fell down and died, the omer of Shimon Gamliel, and there of Shimon Gamliel says it depends what the circumstances were. In ma'atma nofel, how is a get, if he jumped off himself, then it is a valid get, because in chiyach sofal tchilase, v'imaruach tachato in a get, but if the wind pushed him off, then it's not a get, because then there's no chiyach sofal tchilase. So the Mishnah is implying that point by bringing in the story that's a difference of a chiyach sof, it's a difference whether hechiyach sofal tchilase, whether what happens later on tells us something about what was going on before. In this case, with the fact that he committed suicide, does that mean that now, when he a little while earlier, when he told them kisvu, without telling them tenu, did he in fact mean that they should actually give the get as well, and he just didn't finish because he was preoccupied with the fact that he's going to die soon? So applying that to our case over here, in the case in Kesari, where the guy shechted without saying what he's doing, what he plans to do, then later on he actually says he's going to sprinkle for Avodah Zarah, or actually sprinkles according to the different Rishonim, do we say Hoshiach Sefer Tchilasai? So Reb Shimon Gamliel is saying that we do apply Hoshiach Sefer Tchilasai, so in that case, maybe we should apply that in Kesari. Says Rav Shizvi, in that case, the reason why the Chachamim didn't want to say explicitly that's mutter is because Rav Shimon Gamliel implies that it would be usur because. Now, there are Rishonim who point out that Amban and the Rashba and then the Ran all point out, we don't find the Chacham arguing with Rav Shimon Gamliel. But nevertheless, the Chachamim of Kesri said, on the other hand, though, there's a good reason maybe to distinguish between that case of Get and Avodah Zarah. A Yid is normally keeps away from Avodah Zarah. Once the Hamshek Nes Hagdola at the beginning of the second Bais Mikdash took away the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah, your typical Yid is not has no Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. So therefore, so even we see at the end that the guy is over at Avodah Zarah, we have every reason to think that this is something that developed just now. But maybe not. And then, on the other hand, we have Reb Shimon Gamliel saying, so therefore they didn't want to take a stand on it one way or the other. In fact, there is quite a bit of discussion about the question precisely that. Since a person has a cheskas kashrus, how can we say, by Avodah Zarah, hechiach sofer al tchilasei? So one explanation, one explanation that Osameach brings is that look, fine, a Yid has a cheskas kashrus, but the very fact that he did something at the end, we can say that he had it in mind to do it before. So now we can say, in other words, when he shechted, he was already planning to shecht, to sprinkle the blood for Avodah Zarah. That would be a reason maybe to say that we should apply Hechiach Sofer Al Tchilasei, but again, maybe not. Maybe there is that distinction between Avodah Zarah and Get, and therefore we shouldn't say that. So therefore the Chachamim of Kesri would say that we can't that we're not going to paskin one way or the other. However, the Gemara asks, that's still not a valid reason. The Dama Shiny Hossam Dama Tisu. The fact is, there he did tell them to write a get for my wife. So that there is a certain indication that he does plan to divorce her. Fine. The question is, did he actually mean for them to give it to her? But he definitely did tell them to write it. So fine. We can talk about, did he mean the Losachet Ba or whatever, but he did give them instructions to write it. But on the other hand, in this case over here, there was no indication at the time of the Shkita at all that he plans to do anything for Avodah Zarah. So even Reb Shimon Gamliel might not hold a Hechiach Sofer Al Tchilasei. So we can't say that it's based on that din of Reb Shimon Gamliel that the Chacham of Kesri didn't want to give up that din in this case. Ela, Amar Ravina, Mishum Kvodi de Reb Shimon Gamliel de Hocha. The honor of Reb Shimon Gamliel is based on something that Reb Shimon Gamliel says in the following case, the Tanya. If a person writes out a shtar to somebody else, that he's giving his property to them, Now, among the property is avodim k'nanim. And the recipient says, I don't want them. It could be, for example, one possibility when the Gemara brings this in Masech de Bava Basra, where the Rashbam brings one point over there. Is because, after all, avodim, I mean, you get work out of them, but on the other hand, they're a considerable expense. You have to feed them. The guy, the recipient of this matzona, says, you know, this is a white elephant. This is going to be, it's going to take a lot of money to feed these avodim, and I don't want them. So, iyechibahem. So, the braisa says, im hoye rabbi sheni koyin, if that second master, meaning the recipient, is a koyin, harela ofen b'truma, these avodim would still be able to eat truma as though they're avodim of the koyin. Because even though he doesn't want them, nevertheless they still become his, and as avodim of a koyin, they're allowed to eat truma until he sells them, whatever. Reb Shimon Gamliel says no. Kivin Shomal Lo Yefshi Behen. Once the guy says, the recipient says, I don't want them, kvar zochu behem yoshim, then at that point the yoshim are gonna acquire them. So meaning Yoshim, if the guy died, and him himself, the giver, if he's still alive. So therefore, and the first owner is not a Koyan, he's Yisrael or a Levi, and therefore they can't eat Truma. Now again, Valvinanba, now we have a discussion in that Gemara in Bava Basra. The Tanakama, Afilo Oymid Vitzikeach, you're telling me according to the Tanakama, if the guy right away is screaming over there, I don't want these slaves, then how do they become his? A person is not Zoycha in a Matana against his will. So where Shimon Gamliel is saying that he says EF Shibahem and therefore he doesn't get them, but what is the Tanakama thinking to say that regardless he acquires them? And Omer Rabba Vitame Rabbi Yochanan, and so Rabba explains, or some say Rabbi Yochanan explain, if right away, as soon as he hears about it, he right away starts protesting that I don't want this matana, then there's no question. Everybody agrees that he's not acquiring them because he can't make somebody acquire something against his will. Shoysikal was safe to say Deach. On the other hand, at first he was quiet and accepted it, and then afterwards he complained and said, I don't want it to call Amalek to give the Kana, then there'd be no Machloek because he definitely acquired it. Because the fact that he was Zoycha in it, and now he says, Yefshiba, I don't want it, then he would have, if he doesn't want it, then he would have to make it Hefker or give it as a present to somebody else. The machloikas of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and the Chachamim is specifically where the original owner was mezake to him through somebody else. So you have three people. You have Reuben, the original owner. You have Shimon, the recipient that he wants to give it to. And then and then there's Levi over there. So he tells Levi, so he gives Levi the Shtar Matana, and he says, I want you to be Zoycha in this Shtar in the name of Pliny, in the name of Shimon. So now, the Shosak, so now Shimon did not say anything, although the Seif Tzavach, and later on, after he actually got the Shtar, then he complained and says, I don't want them. So now you have the Machlokes. Tanakama Sava Midishosik Kanonu. So the Tanakama holds very simple, where he was quiet when he first knew about this Matana. Okay, he didn't receive the Shtar Matana yet, but he was present when Reuben gave it to Levi and told him to be koined on behalf of Shimon. So therefore, so he was koined already too late. The fact that now he's protesting, fine, that means he's trying to change his mind, but that's, you can't, it's too late for him to change his mind. He doesn't want it, give it to somebody else or make it hefker or whatever. Reb Shimon Gamliel Sava, Hechiach Seif Al Tfilasei. Reb Shimon Gamliel holds this is the case of Hechiach Seif Al Tfilasei. The end demonstrates about the beginning. The fact that he protested later on shows that to begin with, he didn't want them. The Hordelet Savach Meikra. Why didn't he complain in the first place? Savach, because he figures, Kilei Osir Liyadei Amai Etzvach. Why should I bother protesting before I even got it? Rashbam says over there that it would be ignite for him. It would be like a beneath his dignity to say, I don't want a Matana before he even got it. So once he got it, then he's going to say, I don't want it. But he's not going to do that, but he's not going to do that proactively. So we see Rav Shimon Gamliel holds in this kind of case, well, in the case of Kesari, it would be the same kind of thing as well. There was a possibility that when he later on sprinkles the blood, the Shem of Adazara, or says that he's going to sprinkle it according to the different Rishonim, then that may be, shows, Rav Shimon Gamliel then would argue that that shows that to begin with, even during the Shita, he was already thinking of doing this, and therefore, as we said before, and according to Rabbi Yechanan, that there's a braisa like Rabbi Yechanan, so the halacha is like him. That, therefore, that would make the shtita possible. So that would be a reason to say it possible. On the other hand, again, the Chachamim in our Mishnah are saying never mind that, because we don't say machshava later on is going to passel. We don't say by default his thought is for Avod Azara. Therefore, we can't assume that during the Shkita he was actually having it in mind. So that's why in the case in Kesari, why they didn't want to pass in halacha one way or the other. Now, so we had the three-way machloikas in our Mishnah. We had again the Chachamim, Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Yosi. The Chachamim saying that. The Chachamim saying you're shechting an animal that belongs to a goy, that's fine. Rabbi Eliezer said it's possible, and Rabbi Yossi had said that einak kol holoch afa elach rashoichet. And again, we had two ways of explaining the machlokes. Well, the Gemara says Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mishmo halacha k'Rabbi Yossi. The halacha is like Rabbi Yossi that the owner's machshava does not passel neither by kodshim nor by cholim. So by kodshim, the owner has in mind that he's going to eat the meat. Beyond the time, that won't make the meat table. Only if the one is shechting or does the other avodas does that. So therefore, the Gemara brings a story based on a story that depends on this point. Hahutaye, there were these Arab merchants, the Osel Sikonia, who came to a place called Sikonia. Yoiv Dichri the Tamcha Yisrael. They gave rams to Jewish shochtim to shecht for them. Now Rashi points out these Yishma'elim would only eat meat of an animal that was shchuta. Rashi points out that actually it was an odd thing. Even if the animal died on its own, so it's nevela, nevertheless they had their tradition was to shecht it. Eventually, when the Gemara was written a couple hundred years before Islam came along. When Islam came along, then they also adopted this as well. And to this very day, the Muslims have a form of shchita, their whole system of what they're allowed to eat and not allowed to eat. Halal begins with the point that there has to be a shchita on an animal for it to be kosher. Their shchita is more or less like ours. So a goy shechting for a yid is not a kosher shchita, but in different places in the world there are Jews who do shchita and Arabs will eat meat as well. In any case, the point is that this is before Islam, but these guys also had this minhag that they would eat meat only when it was shechted. But these guys were Oiv Avodah Zarah. Amr Lahu, the Goyim, the Goyish merchants tell the Jewish Shochtim, here's how we're going to split it. Dom of a Tarbalidi Don, we're going to keep the blood and the fat of these rams, Mashko, Visra, Lididhu, and the skin and the meat of the animal will be for you. This is how we'll pay you. So Rashi explains these guys are busy with their work, with their business, with their trade. So therefore they wouldn't shech. Therefore they didn't have time to shech and deal with the animals themselves. This is why they delegated it to Jews. They didn't specifically say anything about Avodah Zarah, but here the problem is that there's a concern. They are Oiv Avodah Zarah. After all, maybe they are thinking when they're talking about having the blood and the fat, maybe they intend to bring it to as korbanos to their getches. Shtocher of Turiba Masna l'kameh de Rav Yosef. So Rav Turiba Masna sent the question to Rav Yosef, ki hai gavna mai, what would be the din in a case like that? The fact that the owners evidently have in mind for Avodah Zarah, is that enough to pass all the meat? Shalach Leis, Rav Yosef answers him, no, Chachi Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel Halacha K'Rav Yosef, the Halacha is like Rav Yosef in our Mishnah, and therefore we don't care that these Goyim may be planning to sprinkle the blood or burn the Chela for Avodah Zarah. That won't make anything also because they're the owners, they're not the ones who are shechting, and their thoughts have no effect. As far as what will be, Tosfos had pointed out before, the blood will in fact become usur. All the blood will become usur when they sprinkle some of it for Avodah Zarah. So here, in other words, they said they gave it to these Arab merchants, but if the Arabs decide we sprinkled some of the blood, we want to sell the rest of the blood to you Jews and you can use it for fertilizer or whatever, it would be usur b'hanah. As far as the fat, only the actual pieces of fat that they offered to Avodah Zarah would be usur b'hanah, the rest of it would be mutter. But meanwhile, we're saying, though, the skin and the meat of the animals would be mutter because, again, the fact that they're thinking of Avodah Zarah doesn't matter because Halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. Okay. Now, though, let's go back to Rabbi Yezer a minute. Omelet of Acha Breder of Ibiyel of Ashi, Rabbi Yezer. What about a point to Rabbi Yezer in our Mishnah who says that there is a problem with the Goy thinking of Avodah Zarah? Again, according to the two versions before, according to the first version, Rabbi Eliezer says that the Goy by default is thinking of Avodah Zarah. And the second one is we're talking about where the Feder said he's doing L'shem, he wants it done L'shem Avodah Zarah, and Rabbi Eliezer holds Zemachasha V'Zeoivid, his thought affects things even though he's not the one doing the Shechita. So now, what about, asks Rav Acha Breder of Ibiyel, according to Rav Eliezer, Yohiv Lei Zuzel Tabach Yisrael Mai, what about if a Goy were to give a zuz to a Jewish shochet to buy meat? He tells him, when you shech your animal, then you're going to give me a dinner's worth of meat from this animal. So now, would Rabbi Eliezer say that even then the goy's machshava is enough to passel? Or maybe he would say, because after all, he owns one dinner's worth of the meat. Or maybe not, because he doesn't really own much in it. So he owns only one dinner's worth of meat. So therefore, so maybe his machshava would passel, maybe not. Amalei, Sarav Ashi says, Chazinan, well, we have to look at the situation. E inish almahu, if this goy is a powerful, well-connected goy, and he's able to force what he wants on you, namely, the yid is not going to be able to push him off. In other words, what happens, so the guy gave you a dinner. Do you have the ability, after you shechted the animal, to say, you know what, I changed my mind. I don't want to sell you the meat. Take back your dinner. Is this the kind of person where you can't do that? You try to do that to him and tell him, I don't want your dinner. Take it back. And I'm not selling you the meat. Then you're going to get in trouble. So therefore, of necessity, you're shechting for him. Therefore it would be also because the goy does have an absolute ownership of the meat. The Eloi, but if he's not so powerful and you would easily be able to tell him, you know what, Mr. Goy, take back your dinner. I changed my mind. I decided I didn't want to sell you the meat. Omalei, then he can tell him, Reshech Vahar, your head, an expression, your head in a mountain. In other words, take your head and go bang it against a mountain. I'm not obligated to sell you this meat. And you're going to take your money back. So in other words, therefore, the Yid is not So then, therefore, the goy is not necessarily a partner in this meet, because the yid is always able to tell him in a case like that where you take back your money and I'm not selling you your meat. So therefore, that's not a, so they even appointed Rabbi Eliezer, then the fact that the goy may be thinking of Avodah Zarah, or said Befedrish that he's doing for Avodah Zarah, as the case may be, is not enough to aser the meat, and the halacha would be, and therefore even appointed Rabbi Eliezer, it would be fine. Now Rashi points out, though, there is a question in this, though, because when we talk about how a kinyan is performed, so with Jews we talk about this kinyan chalifin, this kinyan meshicha, there's a whole bunch of different kinds of kinyanim. The exchange of money does not create a kinyan. With a goy, though, the Gemara tells us in Bechoros, we'll have it in a few months, Bes Hashem, that with a goy, his money is koina for him, which is relevant. For example, if you have an animal that's soon going to be giving birth to her, and it may be carrying a baby, it may be carrying a male, and then it's going to be a Bechor, Behemoth Tahara, which nowadays, when you don't have a Bis Mikdash, it's a hassle to deal with, because you can't bring it as a carbon, and you have to wait till it develops a womb, so you may want to proactively go and sell the mother or the baby to a goy, and once you give the money to the goy, or once the goy gives the money to you, rather than he acquires a portion. So then in that case, the goy gave the dinner over here, doesn't that automatically mean that he acquires the meat? But Rashi says no, because he can tell him I don't want you to be my partner if that's going to create problems for me. So here, your thought of Avodah Zarah, according to if the halacha was like Avodah Zarah, your thought of Avodah Zarah would create problems for me. It would make the rest of the meat also to me. So therefore, I don't want to. So I don't want to have to accept your shutfus and to have to accept that your money is acquiring the meat for you. I'll just give you back your meat. As opposed to, again, if this goy is powerful, then you're not able to, so then it means, in other words, that you, to begin with, you receive the dinner, having in mind that there is actually a kinyan over here, and therefore it comes out the goy has an actual kinyan, and therefore his machshava will in fact passel the animal. Again, though, the halacha is not like, that would be according to Rabbi Eliezer. The halacha is not like Rabbi Eliezer. And therefore, Tosfos points out a different reason anyway. The goy over here himself is not Samech Das, precisely because it's so easy for the yid, if the goy is not an alim, if he's not a powerful guy, it's so easy for the yid to tell him, I don't want to sell you after all, so therefore, to begin with, the goy himself does not have a complete Smichus Das that he's going to actually acquire. If he's a powerful guy, then Tosfos points out it would be also even Medirabanan. But in any case, this is all, if the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer, the halacha in the end is not like Rabbi Eliezer. We said before, it's like Rabbi Yossi, and therefore it's not a problem regardless of what the goyish customer thinks, because he is the owner of the animal. It is true, but his machshava as the owner is not enough to passel it, only if he was the actual shofet, as Rabbi Yossi says.